Listening to Marlon Williams, not just because we love to listen to Marlon Williams, we do really love to listen to Marlon Williams, but there's another Williams in the house and it's all on. Ursula Grace Williams, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Matthew Crawley, how are you?
Very good, thank you for joining me in the studio to talk about your amazing film that comes out tomorrow.
It's such a pleasure to be at the B.
Yeah, so just if we sound a bit smiley, it's because the last time we met properly was we were sitting in the studio talking about your first film, your first short film, The King.
That's right. That I made for my master's thesis ages ago now.
About the man who would be Elvis.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're sort of sticking with the theme here.
Isn't it weird?
You've got our very own Elvis with your brand new film, Ngā Ao E Rua, Two Worlds, about Marlon Williams. That's amazing.
Thank you very much, yeah.
And no big deal. I think it's like the Civic is not that big, is it?
No, not really. Premiere
tomorrow at the Civic?
Yeah. That's no, it's
cool.
Real chill.
Yeah, congratulations, honestly. Like, there's a lot of buzz in the air about this movie, and I, for one, am very, very excited to see it. But tell us about it. Tell us how this happened.
So, the origins of it, I guess. So, we were at a dumpling house in Christchurch, and I was down there filming a six-part series. Mm-hmm. And Marlon was down there, I think he was doing the score for Juniper with Mark Perkins. Mm-hmm. And Mark was doing the score for the six-part series. So, you know, there's a little triangle going on. And we were going out for dumplings, and then Marlon arrived. And he was real sweaty from basketball, as he usually is. And a bit like, cool. And he was late, which is classic.
Good.
And then we started, you know, eating dumplings and chatting. And, yeah, we were both familiar with each other's work. He had seen Zealandia and The King and a couple of other things. And I obviously love Marlon's voice and talent and overall vibe. And we were like, cool, let's collaborate one day. And then here's another full circle moment for you, Matthew, is that I was listening to Music 101 with Charlotte Ryan, who I used to produce for on The B.
That's right. Welcome back.
Welcome back. And I and she was talking to him about the kind of sparks of Te Whare Te Wekweke, which he didn't know it was called that at the time, obviously, but he was kind of just talking about like, oh yeah, I think like this will be my next move.
Which for listeners is his new album.
His new album, fully in Te Reo Māori.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that is the one that I think is going to bring up a lot for Marlon. Obviously, he's not at a point in his career where he would have necessarily wanted to kind of reflect back. Like, he didn't want this documentary to be a biopic. He didn't want to be like, this is me and I've made it and blah, 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 because he's very much on a trajectory, you know, that will probably keep rising up into more and more things. So it had to be a present film. So that's kind of what it became. We followed him for years.
So tell us what time frame we're talking. Like, when did you start filming?
So we first had the chat in 2020, and then we started filming at the end of 2021. I actually only just tried to work out the timelines around this for this particular interview, because I've kind of just been flailing around being like, oh, it's been ages. And then
So is it 90% Zoom calls just because it was COVID?
Yeah. Be prepared for a lot of Zoom calls and PTSD. No, it's not.
To be clear, no.
No, it's not. No, so then we started filming, and he was very generous with his time. I guess he too wanted to document this process. He didn't know how he wanted to do it, but I think it came at a really like fortuitous time where we kind of met, and then that started. Mm. I guess those things, I guess it always is retrospectively fortuitous if you've made a documentary, but it really was. And yeah, so I started following him right in the early days when he was beginning to kind of sing. Awa Tura was his first one that mm-hmm. he started kind of playing around with. And as he has said many times, I'm definitely not going to speak on behalf of him, but as he said many times, that was very much in like his reo and where he was at. Mm-hmm. And it kind of progressed from there, and we watched that journey.
Yeah, cool. So that was something we briefly talked about off air, but you got quite excited about seeing his journey kind of, and we're going to play the song that you referred to as being the kind of pinnacle, I guess, or like where a point that he got to. But tell us a bit, like, can you speak, not on behalf of Marlon, but tell us a little bit about his journey from with his reo, because it is such a cool thing, this record that he's done. Mm. And you know, and I'm presuming part of the movie is documenting his journey there.
Yeah, it is. So we had a timeline, obviously, which was the writing and recording of this album. At the same point in time, you know, his reo journey was definitely in there because mm-hmm. they are synonymous. So when he started, with Awa Tura, he definitely... got to be really careful because I really don't want to speak on behalf of him, but he was definitely a bit not as confident and a little bit just not as confident, I guess. Mm. And that confidence grew to kind of play with the language a lot more, and once we got to Whakamiatia Mai, which is what the song that you were referring to, you could kind of see this whole other mm. being within him. And I guess like Te Reo Māori and Te Ao Māori has always been part of his world, you know. Yep. He went to a kohanga reo, his mum spoke Māori in the house, but there was a real reconnection moment here. Yeah. And a commitment that we were lucky enough to kind of witness and
cool.
document.
Oh, amazing. Well, I almost wonder if we should play that song or some of it just to...
Yeah, it's a vibe.
Yeah. Well, let's do that. Sorry, Lord. I reckon, let's do that for a little bit and then we'll rudely bust in and keep chatting.
Sick.
All right.
Tai Rua Toru.
Listening to Whakamiatia Mai from the Marlon Williams album, and we have been talking about this in relation to the film. You could talk about that a bit more than I could, probably, Ishla.
I was just telling Matthew that we were going to call the film Whakamiatia Mai, because it was actually a saying that was within a song that Marlon was singing with the Christchurch Cathedral Choir. Mm. And so Don Whelan, who's the leader of the Christchurch Cathedral Choir, was very kind of instrumental in Marlon's musical career.
Oh, cool.
He was actually, that choir was the first tour that he went on.
Really?
Yeah, when he was sort of 14, I think, with Ben Woolley, who's still part of his band, yeah. The Yarrabenders. So, yeah, Whakamea Te Mai is taken as a statement that's part of a waiata that they sung, and he loosely translates it as Let Things Happen To Me, which is what the film was going to be called.
Oh.
But because it kind of didn't explain the themes well enough and it didn't necessarily like grasp the audience, nobody in a test screening that we did remembered the name,
right?
So it wasn't a good kind of idea, yeah. Strategically, but yeah, fun little fact.
Yeah, that is fun little fact. We're going to play this. I'm going to play this commie song. The tattoo.
Yeah, he also got the tattoo, yeah. Which is Whakamea Te Mai as well.
Oh, well, you know, it's still cool words.
Yeah.
Even if the film's not called that.
Exactly.
So, yeah, the film, my goodness, it comes out tomorrow at the Civic and then everywhere. That's so exciting. And so did you travel around the world with this thing?
Yeah.
That was a silly question because I know you did, but tell us about travelling around with this film, because tell us a little bit about where you went, these sorts of things, because you weren't just sitting in the studio kind of filming people pushing buttons, were you?
No, definitely not. that is not necessarily conducive with Marlon's world, just sitting around pushing buttons. Mm. He is a go-getter.
Yeah.
So we were, we travelled to London.
Cool.
We were there for the Solar Power Tour with Lord. He was opening for Lord. And that was really amazing to kind of see them perform together, but also see how that level of operation kind of, you know, went down. Like, whoa, there was a lot of people surrounding that. And it was really generous of her and her team to allow us in like that, because you know it's serious business at that level. So she was playing. I mean, it's serious business at Marlon's level too, of course, but yeah, it's, you know, it's Lord. So we were we went to the Roundhouse. That was really cool. We went to LA and went to the Troubadour, which was pretty iconic because, you know, cool. There's like Bob Dylan saying that. I mean, you know, the list goes on. It was just quite eerie to be in this small little room. It was also the place where Bradley Cooper picked up Marlon Williams for A Star Is Born. So that was pretty special. And also just LA with him was hilarious. Like, he wouldn't got a pedicure. And like, you know, we mucked around on, we mucked around on swan boats, and there was like lots of like hilarious interviews and lots of mishaps. Like, Tim Flower, the DOP, wasn't able to make it to LA. And so I was over there with Warren Rodericks, and we ended up in some pretty hairy situations. There were like some near death experiences. You know, that sort of thing.
Care to elaborate?
It's a long story and pretty drawn out. I'll tell you off air. But essentially, like, went to the wrong side of town, North Hollywood. Didn't know. Got into some trouble.
Got into a shootout.
Well, no, but luckily.
Yeah. Wow.
What else? We went to Melbourne, of course, because a lot of like his kind of cutting his teeth practice was in that beautiful city. And so we went to the Yarra River, and, you know, why the Yarrabenders are called the Yarrabenders in the first place. And and then spending a lot of time down in Ōtautahi in Christchurch in Lyttelton was really special. Like, I hadn't kind of been so familiar with those landscapes, and the South Island just blows me away every time
I'm
there.
It's wild, eh?
It's so
wild.
Especially
around where he lives.
Oh, and like, yeah, that boat ride between Diamond Harbour and Lyttelton, you know, and they're just all taking this for granted. And it's like, guys, these mountains, like, what is going on here?
Look where you live.
Yeah. And also just Lyttelton, like, what a really special community.
Yep.
I feel really fortunate. So, yeah, in short, like, all over the show, and then lots of kind of, like, localised hangs as well in Tamaki.
It's so cool.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you to say too much about, like, what's actually in it necessarily, because people should just come and see it. But it sounds like there's a little equal measure, like, road movie, live stuff, album stuff, kind of And then a climactic shootout from... did I hear that right? No.
No. No, that was just for me.
Oh, sorry, climactic pedicure. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, that, definitely. And also... I've heard a lot of people say that they feel like they've been on tour with Marlon after this, which cool. is pretty cool. At the same point in time, getting a real sense of what that actually means, and then also there's been some really special moments, like spending time in Torere with his Ngāi Tai Whānau from,
oh, wow.
and yeah, going to Torere Nui Arua, their beautiful whare nui there. For him, the first time walking inside, you know, like just there Whoa. Are some really intimate and beautiful moments. And
presumably there's some negotiating to be done to make sure that filming there is okay and
of course.
All that stuff.
Of course.
Wow, so it must have been such a process to
yeah.
make this dang thing.
Yeah, of course, but it always is. I mean, you're working with people's lives and those are yeah. precious, you know, and the relationships within them are so precious
yeah.
and also professionally, but personally, you know, it's always, yeah, it's such a, yeah, like you say, a negotiation and a balance.
Yeah, that's yeah. so cool. You still talking to each other?
Oh, yeah.
I'm joking.
Yeah, he'll be there tomorrow night.
Cool. Oh, that's so cool. And is this something people can buy tickets to, or is it a...
They still can.
Yeah?
There's still some limited tickets available for the 29th at the Civic. So that's the first premiere. And then the second premiere is down at the James Hay on the 30th, down in Ōtautahi, which yep. will be really special as well, because lots of his whānau will be there. So definitely there's still tickets available to both those events. And then after that, from the 1st of May, it goes into cinemas across
I'm
Aotearoa.
So
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wish I can't even pretend I'm going to be there tomorrow because my mum's 70th birthday dinner tomorrow. But if not for
hook.
That, I would have, because, you know, my little cousin's in the film too. So... did you know that?
No.
Mark Perkins?
Oh, is Mark your cousin? I did know that.
Yeah.
I actually did know that.
Little Merc.
It's in the filing cabinet in the back of my brain right here. I've just found it.
He's so wonderful.
Oh, he's so wonderful. And he engineered the album. I mean, yeah. he's a dude. And he did the score. Did you know that?
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he did the most tremendous job. Like, it was amazing because he had just moved to LA to do all the LA things that he's been up to, like... Yeah, and then we started, I was like, you've got to do the score. This is another full circle moment because he was doing the score on the six-part series when we met in Tri-State, blah, blah, blah. And then kind of working remotely with sound was super interesting because I'm not a musician. I mean, I can tinker around a piano and, you know, play a few chords, but I'm definitely not that way inclined. So really leaning on him for like what I was talking about.
It's interesting because, you don't think about a documentary about a musician. You just, in your back of your mind, you're like, oh, I guess it's just all Marlon's just going to be providing the music. But no, that's did be a bit much, eh?
Yeah. And there's a lot of that. Like, it's definitely a rockumentary by nature. Like, there's a lot of beautiful waiata and instrumentals. But no, that's the kind of like the transient moments and the spaces in between. Mark has kind of filled all of those. Yeah, those bits for us.
Cool.
Yeah, and he was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Well, I'll let his mother know.
Yeah, do that. At the 70th?
Yeah. No, I think they'll be at your screen. Yeah.
Ooh.
The other side of the family. Do you? Is there anything else you want us to know about the film before I concede to the news team?
I don't think so. I just think, well, one thing I would like to say is that, like, New Zealand cinema needs our help to stay alive. And I'm not being dire or dramatic. I'm just saying, you know, if you want these films to still exist about people and places within our beautiful country, then go along and support the films like this.
Yeah.
Because it's dire out there, you know. It really is.
Whoa.
And so, yeah, if you can and if you have the means, then please, yeah,
yeah.
Do.
Oh, look, well, we will. If we've got anything to do with it, we will. Should we finish on a song that is the other song you mentioned as being a favourite off the record?
Yes, please.
Pānaki.
Pānaki. It was actually written, the lyrics were written by Komi, Tamati Alif, who is one of the co-writers on the album, and he features really, really heavily throughout the film.
Cool, he's can't amazing. Wait to...
They're amazing, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
ever since I saw the mysterious, I didn't get to go to that Port Noise Festival, but where Komi kind of made their big debut with a mystery guest, I guess in the last year or so, it's kind of come to light that, yeah, Comey's been working with Marlon, but this is exciting to kind of get to know them as well in the film.
Yeah, and their whole journey has been super interesting as a performer because it's kind of done this with Marlon. Like, Comey's real proficiency is like next level, obviously. But then their performance has been super interesting in that it has just elevated in this whole other level since taking on this project.
And they used to be anonymous, did they? Or like at least masked at the Port Noise Festival before anyone knew who they were, I feel.
I don't know if they were, I don't know.
Okay. That, anyway, well, anonymous to me. But not no more. Hey, so thank you so much. Please, everybody, do the right thing and go see this movie. When does it... So, May the 1st, it opens up in...
Yep, and then it'll do an Australian release later on in the year as well.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, a general release over there
Tell your friends. And then, well, this is the thing. Sorry, I just have this crazy habit of saying goodbye and then carrying on talking. But, like, it seems to have been... I guess I didn't... I knew that he was on a trajectory internationally. But I guess this album, I maybe... thought that maybe this wouldn't necessarily be the record that would take him places internationally simply because people didn't identify with the language. It's a killer record, obviously, like an incredible record. And I'm so stoked to see that he's selling out like internationally, like in the States and Europe, like just selling out these shows. You know, the billboard in Times Square was such a cool thing. And it's like, actually, I couldn't be more stoked that this is the record that's taking him there.
Absolutely, eh?
Yeah.
And like you say, like, you know, music is music and it can transcend. I mean, I listen to music from different cultures and different languages all the time and, you know, love it because it's about so much more than whether you can understand it or not, I guess. Yeah. It's a bit of a universal language, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, cool. Well, let's feel all warm and fuzzy and play this song and say thank you very much.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure being back on The Bee. And see you.
Come on back anytime.
Pahanaki koko uri ko teki teki piki ake kake ake hautapu hauora mana hau titi hawa fafapu humarire makohanoa ae marika anene whakamaria katuarehe katuarehe pūpoka kiri ahi pai nai nā he ahuru whakatāmahana kāo tīkina te hore hore tau awhi haumiria te aweka tōrua hine he wai hino he ua he ua rā aroha aroha panaki koko uri ko teki teki piki ake kake ake hautapu hauora mana hau titi haua whawhapu Marire, makoha noa, ae marika, anene, whakamaria. Katuarehe, katuarehe.